innocence personified. And I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away.
Hey, everybody. How we all doing? This is Unscripted Wrestling, the Everything Unscripted podcast. Quick audible tonight. Instead of another edition of Unscripted Unlimited, we're going to be talking about the best talkers in pro wrestling. It's going to be a talker tier list. We're going to be judging old school, new school, men, women, manager, alien, whoever the fuck. And we're going to be talking about them based only on their promo skills. So tonight's going to be a good one. I'm your host, Daniel Sexy Beast Hummer. I'm here with Doug GP Hummer. How you doing, Doug?
Pretty good. let's leave it up to imagination to see what they think GP stands for.
And Eric, how you doing, my friend?
What's up, guys?
Not too much. Got a lot to get into. Before we do it, let's go to Doug with the plugs.
All right. Make sure you check out Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night. Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all your major podcast platforms. Wednesday, of course, is Dirt Sheet Dudes, 10 o'clock, around 10:15, 10:20 is Eastern Time. Right after wrestling's over, Friday nights at 11:30, it is the Hollywood Hangout. So make sure you listen to that, mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. Friday nights, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, you'll find us for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. We will not be doing a show this upcoming Friday because we have some big business to attend to Saturday morning. And Friday all day, I'm probably going to be bouncing off walls. But we will be back on September the 24th. And that's going to be one of our big shows coming up because we are going to be doing a company retrospective on WCW the years 96 through 98.
Holy shit.
We're already starting to do some big research. On that, also on October 1st, we're going to be doing a company retrospective on AEW. And then October 15th, we're going to kind of combine them together as we're going to do like a company comparison between WCW 96 or 98 and AEW. And that'll be on October 15th. Listen to us on Saturdays. Times usually vary for Unscripted Unlimited. As that is our second show, that's where we talk a lot of nerd stuff, toys, comics, characters, NFL, UFC, Big Brother, all the fun stuff.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if we're doing one of those. We might do one of those next Saturday. And speaking of next Saturday we will actually be in Merchantville, New Jersey for the Merchantville Toy Street Fair. We will be vending. Selling some toys, board games, comics. I think we're going to try to do a show. I'm going to talk to the guy running the convention. I'll probably talk to him at the convention.
Yeah.
You know, it's better to put people on the spot. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. And of course, this is also weather permitting. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. I know what they're saying it's going to be like, but that's right now, and this is 7 days from now. So we'll see. But so join us there. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So come out. If you're in the Merchantville area, come out, say hi, buy some toys, preferably the expensive ones. And then Sundays, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, you join Mindy and Daniel for Scaredy Cats. Tomorrow, what are you guys doing for tomorrow's show?
13 Ghosts.
That's a Shannon Elizabeth movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I remember that one. I don't think I've ever seen it, but I was trying to come up with a hot Shannon Elizabeth joke, but
it's good.
I failed.
Or no, I think it's the old one. I don't know if she was in it.
Okay. And then you've got something to plug for somebody else, right?
Yes. All right. Make sure to check out my buddy Sean's YouTube channel and Twitch. He does a lot of streaming, a lot of GTA content, a lot of good stuff. The YouTube is Elite Diplodoc, DILITEDIPLADOC. And the Twitch is Sneaky Fetty. So make sure to check him out. He's got a lot of good shit going on. And,
definitely.
So you guys want to get into it?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Okay.
What?
I remember I wanted to do a moment of silence for 9/11 today.
Okay, yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right. R.I.P. to those we lost, and we thank everybody for their
for their service out there. You know, all the New York City firefighters and New York City police officers that kind of, you know, stuck their neck out there. 20 years ago today, and it was sad. You know, that I mean, you were just a little guy.
Yeah.
Eric and I were both.
We were both sophomores, right? You were a sophomore too.
Eric, you're older than me.
By 1 year.
Yeah, but that wouldn't make us both in the same grade.
What grade were you in? Were you a freshman?
No, I was a sophomore.
Yeah. You said you were exactly in the same grade.
Oh.
Okay. So let's get into it.
That's what happens when you spend 7 years in the third grade, coach. You forget how to count.
But yeah, R.I.P. and we will never forget. So now let's get into this, boys. Talker tier list. This has been one I've been very excited to do since I thought of it about 4 hours ago. And
pre-nap, too.
Pre-nap. It should be a good one. I'd like to – all these guys, so no matter who I list, we are not judging them on wrestling ability, on, you know, high-flying, on hardcore stuff. No. We're just judging them on how they talk. Their promo, their skills on the microphone. That's it. Is everyone clear?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Yep.
Five tiers were – you watch it now, boy. The five tiers were elite, very good, middle of the road, meh, and garbage.
Okay.
Who should we start out with?
I have a hell of a name. You ready? Alexa Bliss.
Okay. So it depends on what iteration of the character we're talking about.
Yeah, but her as a whole with everything.
Okay, her as a whole with everything. I mean, when she was doing the whole – so when she first started in NXT, obviously when you first start, you really can't talk.
Yeah.
And she was doing, like, the pixie thing.
Yeah.
But then she kind of turned into the, you know, the cheerleader for Blake and Murphy. And she comes up to the main roster, and she kind of becomes, like, the mean girl, right?
Yeah.
The goddess thing. And she actually had – she could speak well for herself. She could give heat on herself.
Yeah.
Which is what you want to do. Because when you're a baby face, you want to make people care. When you're a heel, you want to make them throw tomato. You want to make them throw tomatoes at you.
And I think she also works as a baby face too, though. Maybe not so, like, I don't know if her baby face promos are the best, but I think because of her stature and her size, and like, you do want to root for her when she's not being a bitch.
And her hosted Moment of Bliss. See, Moment of Bliss was actually really good for her because she's a really good interviewer.
Yeah.
So, like, in that perspective, and the whole, you know, Alexis Playground thing, you know, I think she got even better, you know, with the character. So I'd actually put her, I'm not going to say elite, but I would say very good.
I think I would go very good.
I'd say very good.
She can do babyface, she can do heels, she can do character work. She's only been involved in one cringy segment, and that was the Bayley This Is Your Life thing. That shit was awful.
Yeah.
But I think that was more on writing more than her.
To me, if you get the crowd into it when you're talking, you're either elite or very.
Yeah. Now, speaking of getting the crowd in, we're staying current, but we're going on the other channel.
Okay.
an underrated promo and somebody who has had good ones and he's had bad ones, Cody Rhodes.
Okay, so he is another one that, yes, he's cut some really good ones. I mean, he's a lot better cutting promos than he used to be, right?
Yeah.
When he was in WWE, because when he was in WWE, he really wasn't that good at all.
No. But now, I mean,
yeah,
the shit going up to the Jericho match, when he was, like, screaming and getting pissed, and when, because Jericho called him a rookie, or
yeah,
not a rookie, what did Jericho call him? Oh, God, that was a while ago. But he really clapped back at him.
Yeah.
And he, like, I remember, the only promo I thought sucked was that American Dream one that he just did against that Drogo. I thought that was kind of stupid. But the rest, I think, even though he's got the face that you think he's a heel, I feel like his promos are better when he's a babyface. He comes, like, as that underdog, like, he's talking for the people. Like, you really do want to get behind him when he's talking.
Yeah, and here's the thing, is that he is the one member of the Elite that you don't want to stick a knife in his throat when he talks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for that, I would say, and like you said, I think he cuts better babyface promos than he does heel. So I'm going to say very good, just because a lot of the stuff he has cut has made me be like, oh, all right, because I actually do like Cody.
Yeah.
I say very good, too.
I do like Cody. Because I do think Cody actually does care about, you know, about the business.
Yeah.
And wants the business to succeed. You know, he's not looking for, like, his own personal gain, because he wants, you know, people to help out, you know, help out. And, like, he cuts the promos to help get guys over.
Yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, I would say very good.
Yeah.
All right.
These promos are very... Or what? I have a name.
Who do you got?
I got Britt Baker.
Okay.
Great when she became a heel. I think her babyface stuff was the over at best. She got better too.
And I think when she became... Because, like, when she won the title back and she kind of started feuding with Nyla Rose, I was afraid they were going to turn her back into a babyface. Because, again, like you said, those babyface promos aren't good. But she's another one that can draw heat.
Yeah, she's a good heel. Her shit with Tony Schiavone's funny.
Yeah, well, Tony's just a creepy old man.
Yeah, but they're like little friendship, the homies, the BFFs.
Yeah.
They're funny as hell.
Yeah,
and I like she's a really good bad guy now. I think she's in her bag. She's where she needs to be.
She's got people surrounding her.
Yeah,
and she's got that, you
exactly.
know. Like it, but also like that voice, like that's a very annoying voice.
Yeah,
but that annoying voice also cuts really good promos.
Yeah, she does. He's good at talking shit. I'd say very good though.
I would too.
Okay, very good. She improved from when she first started, and then after now, she's another one then. She's like Pony.
All right, next up, Junkyard Dog.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. I never really thought of him as much of a talker. I mean, he was a great character. And he got the kids behind him and all that. I mean, to be honest with you, like, they call him, like, this great character. He's the most over character in Mid-South, right?
Yeah.
And he got over because of the two-minute matches.
Yeah.
I don't think he got over because of the promos. Because I don't remember his promos being that good. And when he got to the WWF, I mean, he started having, like, the personal issues and all that. And the promos here, I mean, they were standard babyface promos.
I mean, it was good energy.
Yeah.
I'd say middle of the road.
And I like Junkyard Dog. I was a fan of his when I was little bitty Dutchie.
Yeah.
But I would actually say Matt.
Would you?
Yeah. Only because I just remember them being that special.
I don't know too much about him, but I'll say Matt.
All right, put him in there. Sorry, Junkyard. All right. Next up.
We cause controversy on this show.
Sonny.
Oh, my God. You talk about annoying voices. And here's the thing. She was another one. She could cut a decent promo because she also knew how to get heat.
Yeah.
But that is a voice, though, that you do not want to hear her talk.
Yeah.
Because especially, like, when she got to WCW and was the couple of times she cut a promo in WCW, like, her voice was just about shot.
Yeah.
I mean, I have theories as to why it's shot.
Oh, no.
I'm going to keep that to myself.
Good.
I would actually just call Sonny's promos middle of the road.
I go middle of the road too, because she was an electric manager, but I don't want to really say this, but she was arm candy, you know.
Yeah.
That's really what Sonny was, and I have respect for Tammy Sitch and what she's done. And she was a great manager, but I don't know if she was talking people into the building. I think she was walking it.
Yeah, I mean, we should preface to say that we really don't have respect for anything she's done lately, because all she's done lately is time. like everything she did in the wrestling business, she did well. It's just, unfortunately, like Junkyard Dog, personal problems just took over.
Yeah, it happens. I'm not here to talk about that.
Right.
But we outnumber him. So, middle of the road. Mediocre.
Yeah.
It can be called both. Mediocre, middle of the road, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Next up, we're going to stick to the manager realm, but we're going to go a lot less good looking. Mr. Paul Heyman.
Fantastic.
Maybe the greatest of all time. To be honest with you.
As far as cutting promos goes, he would probably be elite.
Yeah, this is his list. He's got the sharpest tongue.
Elite.
You can hear Brock Lesnar every week, and it still sounds fresh.
Now it's Roman Reigns.
Still. But he can just say he basically says the same shit, but he makes it fresh every time.
Yeah.
And every time it's good, he's sharp with his tongue. He can bring people into a building. He was a good talker even as a promoter when he would come out to ECW and rile up the troops. He's just the sharpest with his tongue. He knows how to use it. He's a great talker.
Yeah, exactly. And see, Heyman is in that category of, I mean, obviously he could never be a wrestler. He was never necessarily a worker. But he also knew how to sell tickets. Even when he was a manager back in the, back in WCW. I mean, the Dangerous Alliance, half the stuff he would cut, because he was always very edgy.
Yeah.
I mean, and he always pushed that envelope. But he also made you want to buy a ticket to go see him in the arena, so hopefully he would get punched in the face.
Yeah, there was something so funny. Like, he really got the 90s, and he got the way the times were going, and he saw Nirvana, and he saw the punk rock, and he saw how kids were acting and rebellious. And he really, touched on that, especially with his promos. And he was always very raunchy. I remember when he got into WWE, his first spot was announcing with JR. And
That was very good.
Trish Stratus is it's the infamous dog barking thing, right?
Yeah.
Vince has her stripped down, and Paul Heyman says, "Is this C-SPAN? Because we're about to see Bush." You cannot say that. I mean, I can say this is a rated R show, so we can say that, and just quoting somebody. But he said that on national TV, and there was just something about him that he could talk, and even when he was saying messed up stuff, even like as a heel, he still seems cool. And it's hard to do with his look and his persona to seem cool. But he just talks like that. He's just, the way he talks, he seems cool. And he makes Brock look cool. Or
right.
Roman or whoever the hell he's next to.
Right. And
he grabbed the room. He grabbed their attention.
Yes. Yeah, so I would definitely say Elite because, again, he's another one of those. And when you cut a promo, like especially if you're doing it for like a live crowd, or even if you're doing it and you're watching it here at home.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that what you're saying is not driving the people either in the crowd or the people that are,
bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Or like the people watching at home or the people in the crowd, you don't want them to walk away while you're talking.
Yeah. They definitely don't when he's talking.
No.
And the thing about Paul is every incarnation of his career, I don't know if we've had a better developed – every Paul Heyman has been a good talker. The greasy SmackDown general manager, Paulie Dangerously in WCW 92, 93, so on.
Yeah.
The ECW owner.
Yep.
You know, he's just always been a good Brock Lesnar side piece. He's just a great fucking talker.
Yeah. And
he doesn't really have to now because Roman has gotten better. But
right. All he's just got to do is just sit there and – or stand there and hold the belt. But, yeah, I mean, Heyman just, again, he talks you into wanting to see, like, what his clients are going to do. He's a great mouthpiece.
Exactly. All right, put him in GOAT or Elite or whatever
yeah.
you want. God tier, whatever you want to call it. All right, boys, we're going to go old school. Ed, you said this name earlier. Nick Bockwinkel, AWA's finest, one of the more intelligent speakers.
Okay. Everybody remembers, I think, the Chris Jericho from 2008-ish, right? 2008, 2009. Especially like after he won like a world title and he would come out dressed in the suits.
Yeah.
That character was based off of Nick Bockwinkel. Okay? Nick Bockwinkel in the AWA in the 70s and 80s was basically, he was their top heel, whether it be in a tag team with Ray Stevens or as a single star. He was managed by Bobby Heenan, but he did not need Bobby Heenan. Okay? Because he was one of those guys that he was very well spoken. He used big words. He was a dirty heel, but like he was very well spoken. So like he was the more soft spoken conversion of Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And the bigger words he used, the more you hated him.
Yeah. And he just always seemed so smart. Like he would use words you didn't even know. Like.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, just for that, I would say because I think he kind of set like a path for people.
Well, and AWA, it's known as kind of one of the more boring territories, you know, wrestling. I mean, they had some good talkers, but still, he gave a jolt of excitement to it because he could talk you into building in a soft-spoken way. That's hard to do.
Right, exactly, and even like when they were starting to go, after Vince and Hogan fucked them over, Bockwinkel was always one to, was always the one they could count on. So he always tried to give them that surge of energy, even in, 86, when he was like. He had no desire to really be in the ring anymore because, you know, he's 53 years old.
Yeah.
He was done, but Vern couldn't count on anybody else. But, and even at 53 years old, his promos were still good. Even when he was the WCW commissioner, he could still talk. So,
wow.
I'll say just because he paved the way for a lot of guys, promo-wise, I would actually say that he was elite.
Okay. I would, too.
I'm going elite.
And I'm pretty sure he's on the ballot for the top 20 greatest wrestlers of all time countdown.
Yes, he is. Somebody added him.
Kane.
Kane?
Yeah.
When they finally let him start talking, he was one of those guys. He was basically, you didn't know how good of a promo he was, because, you know, for like the first year or two that the character was around, like, he didn't get to say that much.
Yeah, when he did, it was like, yeah, through the throat
with the voice recorder. But like, as he would go on, and like, especially after he took the mask off and would talk about, you know, him being a monster and all that.
That's when it got really good.
Yeah.
That character work was really good with JR and him setting JR on fire and stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, I would actually say very good. Hello. Very good.
I say very good. I thought he got better. He's another one that got better.
I think he was underrated with how good he was. So, yeah. Put him in very good, Doug. Do it now.
I'm gonna.
All right. Paul Roma.
Oh. He sucked.
You're talking about a horseman here, Doug.
Yeah, a horseman that did not fit in the group.
Well, the thing is,
I didn't realize he was a horseman.
I think he fit in the heel version, but the fact is, when he got in there, the horsemen were babyface.
Correct.
So that really didn't work.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say,
let's go trash.
Yeah. Only because, this is not about his wrestling ability, because I actually thought he was a decent wrestler.
Yeah.
I thought he could work. But just like, I never really remember him cutting a promo that it's just like, oh, okay, well, I want to watch what he's doing. I mean, his Power and Glory stuff was cool, but that's just because Slick was cutting a promo for him.
True. Well, let's put him in Ass Cheeks.
Whose Ass Cheeks are we putting him in?
Big Show's. All right.
That would do too much damage to Big Show's head.
Next up. I'm sorry, we're staying old on you, Eric, but I had to do it for our dedicated old school wrestling group. Jimmy Jam Garvin.
I know, Eric.
Jimmy Jam.
Not just as Jimmy Jam, but also as Gorgeous Jimmy.
Gorgeous Jimmy, every kind of Jimmy.
He really could cut a promo, but I think his heel promos were better than the babyface promos.
Yeah.
Although
the one angle with the chick, when some guy was flirting with the chick, Doug?
Are you talking about when Sullivan tried to...
Yeah, I liked his babyface stuff against Sullivan.
The only thing is, that would not fly today.
No.
Because what Sullivan basically was doing, people could actually report as sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
There's another four-letter word for that, but I'm not going to say it on air.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that stuff was good. It was like, the promos and stuff were good, and the matches were good. But, like, that's just stuff that, like, it would not fly today because you would get arrested.
Yeah. But Jimmy as a whole, even like I do not accept him as a free bird. I agree with Kenny Lehman on that. But even with that, he was energetic and he was good talking.
Yeah, he was a good guy because he's one of those guys too that he would turn. There's very, you know, some guys would do this. Booker T did it in WCW, or actually both members of Harlem Heat did it. Goldberg did it.
Yeah.
Where you would actually turn into the camera and speak. And Jimmy Jam would do that even in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
I saw him do it in the middle of a match with Johnny B. Bad after he hip-tossed him over the top rope. He went in and he just said, I'm a bad man. you know, mimicking Johnny B. Badd. And then afterwards, Michael Hayes took his arm out of his sling and punched Johnny B. Badd in the mouth. Which Michael Hayes actually, that same pay-per-view, Michael Hayes actually faked the arm injury so he didn't have to put over Van Hammer.
That's funny.
Jimmy was a really good promo. He had some good stuff. I think his stuff, like I said, is gorgeous Jimmy Garvin and world class. I thought that was really good. And like the whole stuff with Precious and Sunshine.
Yes, I agree.
So I'm going to say very good.
Me too. Eric?
I think very good.
All right. Now, Eric, we're going to start with you on this one. Randy Orton. Randy.
Ooh. Randy Orton. I actually like Randy Orton's promos. He's another one that got better over time, too. Some people don't like his promos, but I think he's a better heel promo. I think he does grab the room when he talks. Not great, but he's still solid. So I'll say very good.
Yeah, I mean, I liked him as the Legend Killer cocky shit heel. I like him as a psychopath heel talking. I like him as a baby face and kind of psycho as well. He can talk people into a building. People don't always like it because Randy Orton is considered overrated sometimes. I don't agree. But I think he's got good promos. I go very good.
I think as far as the promo work goes, especially, you know, when he was the leader of Legacy, when he was part of Evolution, even when he started, like, being known as, like, the Viper.
Yeah.
Just, like, that cold, calculating, scare the shit out of you type promo. I mean, I always enjoyed that stuff. So I'm going to say very good. Plus, Randy Orton's also been, you know, one of my favorites. And I used to get made fun of when I was on the THT show because I would always kind of defend Randy, even though, you know, people on that show, didn't really like him very – well, one person didn't really like him very much. Foxman always did.
Yeah. Fuck the other guy.
Oh, yeah. Good. Peace, old garbage.
All right, boys. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Ooh.
Okay.
We're keeping a variety here, bud.
And again, he's another guy that I like. But I just, he's a guy that definitely benefited from having a manager.
Yeah.
The problem is that they always gave him a manager that couldn't cut a promo. I mean, DiBiase obviously could cut a promo. He was managed by Oliver Humperdinck. And no disrespect to Oliver Humperdinck, but I didn't think Humperdinck was that good of a promo. Now, I'm sure the people that were huge fans of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling back in the day they're going to drive down here and they're going to line up at the door with the pitchforks and the torches and wanting to, you know, fucking kill me. But, like, I never thought Humperdinck was that good of a promo. And then, you know, in the WWF, they give him the Luna Vachon. All right? Luna's not going to cut a promo. And then DiBiase. So it's just, like, I don't think Bam Bam, like I said, he's one of those guys that benefits from having a manager, but he couldn't benefit from the managers he was given. So, but his promo skills, I would just say, and I hate to do this because he's another guy that I like, just like JYD. I'm going to say meh.
I think I would agree.
Yeah, I'm going to say meh.
He
can
have those nice mileage in life promos, but it wasn't anything too impressive. All right. Now, I don't really want to pick on guys, you know, from other countries too much and people whose, second language is English because it's not really fair compared to other guys. But for some of the guys that do try and gotten good with cutting promos, I will bring them up. One guy who I think is underrated and he's kind of funny, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, his English is horrible. But, the times they do give him the mic I think that I will agree with you. I think he's underrated. Now, I would only put him in, middle of the road.
Yeah.
But I think that, for somebody that has horrible English, he can adapt.
Yeah.
And he is funny with the stuff he says, too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I think he's fun. I think he's all right. So I'll put him in the middle of the road.
Okay. Mr. Perfect.
You talk about a guy that did not need a manager.
That would be him, right?
Yeah.
Even though, he did obviously benefit, and you can never do anything but benefit from having Bobby Heenan as your manager.
Yeah.
But he just – he didn't need him. He didn't need him. His promos were always excellent. I don't know if they were perfect, but they were excellent. But he was one that – he was almost a complete package. He was a great wrestler. He was a great athlete. And he could talk you into the building.
Yep.
So I'm not going to say elite, but I will say very good. Eric.
I would say I'm gonna say between elite and very good. I think he's borderline elite.
Right. I mean, yeah, because again, he was another one that, he's one of those heels that did not need a manager. He did not need a mouthpiece. But even when they gave him Bobby Heenan, they still made it work. And obviously they became good friends.
Yeah.
So. But since we are basing this on just promo, because as a total package, I think he is elite. But just promo, I think he's just very good.
Right. No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go back on the ladies side of things, and we're going to talk about Ivory. Now, one of the reasons I want to talk about Ivory is her spell with the Right to Censor, because she kind of took that group away from Stevie Richards. And yes, her voice, and yes, all this, and she was very annoying, but that was her job. And I think you genuinely wanted to see, China beat her ass and stuff. So I think she did her job well.
She did, and especially with the Right to Censor. And here's another thing. You can't judge her promo skills by her Hall of Fame speech.
No.
Okay? Because it was a very boring Hall of Fame speech, but also, she hitting, mid-50s, and a lot of, people, when they get up to be, up in age, their promo skills kind of just go away because, they become more humble. And,
yeah, they're getting old.
Yeah. But Ivory.
Like we are.
Yeah. I can tell I'm getting old because I have to pee every 20 minutes. But with Ivory, though, even before Right to Censor, when she was doing when she was the women's champion back in 99, and she was always calling girls out, from the audience, she was just somebody that, she got so much heat from her promos, and again, that is your job. All right, when you are a bad guy, you have to talk, or when you are a heel, you have to talk the audience into wanting to see you get your ass beat.
Yes.
And she did that. So I'm going to say, very good.
I agree with that.
I think she's maybe at the lower level of very good, but yeah, she's definitely very good.
Yeah.
Next up. I hate to do this to my boy, but I wanted to include him. John Morrison.
Oi.
I think it's okay. Before, I think he is a guy that has arguably gotten a lot better. I think his newer stuff, especially with The Miz, is very funny. I know they broke up now. But he's gotten better. I think he has gotten a lot better. I think he's funny. I think the Johnny Drip Drip, I think he's hilarious. His old stuff,
I think he
can be cringy. Go ahead, Eric.
I think he was better in TNA / Impact.
Yeah. But I think he's better now than he was in fucking in 2011 and stuff when he was getting the, because I think that's the only thing that really held him back, besides Trish Stratus being a bitch.
Yeah, was the promo. And the thing is now is like we're not gonna see like the whole thing with The Miz play out at least until Miz gets eliminated from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Because, like, they did that whole turn, like, Miz stabbed him in the back. Miz hasn't been on Raw since stabbing him in the back. Yeah. But that's just because Miz has been rehearsing, has been taking dance lessons, so he doesn't look like an idiot.
Yeah.
And he came back from the ACL fast.
I don't think it was for an ACL. I think it was just, that's what they said.
I was confused how fast he came back.
Not that bad. Like the Palace of Wisdom, and like he's got catchy things.
Yeah, he's got catchy catchphrases.
Yeah, punchlines and stuff. And there is a cool aura to him. But when you're putting him in there for 5 minutes, give him a microphone and say go, it's not always the best result.
When like they would, when they, I remember 2009. They did a backstage interview with him in on SmackDown. He was getting ready to challenge Jeff Hardy for the World's Heavyweight title. And, he was back there. He was smiling the whole time and all that shit. But he said, he goes, you know what? Tonight I take the I bring the world title to the Palace of Wisdom and all that. And that was just, it was kind of catchy.
Yeah,
so I would actually just say middle of the road.
I'd say middle of the road because he was better in other promotions. What was his mic?
Ahmed Johnson.
Oh, my God.
Who?
Ahmed Johnson, from New Generation, big buff guy.
Trash.
Yeah. I mean, I can barely understand what the fuck he was saying.
Yeah, no, I couldn't understand anything he was saying either. No, I would just say
he's
trash.
He's probably a nice guy and all, but he's trash.
Yeah. I am actually friends with him on Facebook. But, like, he had a good look. He just wasn't a good promo. And you just couldn't understand what he was saying, and it's got nothing to do with, like, who he is or anything like that.
Yeah, no. He just kind of jabbered on and on.
Yeah.
Whatever, really. So, trash.
He kind of mumbled, to be honest with you.
He did.
He was Bobby Lashley before Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley can actually cut a pretty decent promo. He doesn't need that other... He doesn't need that other crotch stain that he has now.
Let's get into it. MVP.
He is a stain on the underwear of life.
I'd put him very good.
However, he talks you into the building.
He talks extremely well. When he first came back to the WWE, his stock was extremely low. Like, no one gave a shit about MVP. He had that little TNA run, but no one cared about MVP. And he's like, the biggest he's ever been in a managerial role. That's crazy. He is totally reinvigorated his career with his mouth.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that, like, Bobby Lashley is a monster heel. Bobby Lashley just needs the mouthpiece. But the fact that MVP gets so much heat because a lot of the times, like, Lashley dominates the match from beginning to end, usually because the MVP's usually, pinching the guy in the ass to distract him. So Lashley can take the advantage. And Lashley just does not let up. MVP is kind of like what Paul Heyman was for Brock Lesnar before Brock Lesnar basically became the guy that, like, you know, dominated a match.
Yeah.
Because, like, Heyman, like, a guy would come out, they get a couple of good moves on Lesnar and actually have him rocking for a little bit. Then Heyman would be like, and, you know, show him a little penis or whatever. And then, you know, Lesnar would, you know, dominate. With MVP, it's just like he won't MVP won't even let the guy, like, have a chance against Lashley.
Yeah.
He'll just be like, no.
But as a talker, very good.
As a talker, no, he's very good because you just want to slap the shit out of him.
And you even did back then during his run.
Yeah.
He's just always been good at talking.
Yeah, he was good at talking because, again, he's another guy that's good at heat.
Yeah.
Not Sunday night heat, but, you know, the whole No, he definitely is very good, I would say, just because nobody gave a shit about him when he first came back, but now that he's doing what he's doing.
Rey Mysterio. This is hard.
It's hard.
I'm going to say.
Go ahead, Eric.
Yes.
I'll let you take the first shot.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say meh. I mean, he's okay. Didn't grab the room for me.
Yeah, the allure, what makes Rey Mysterio's game so great is not his mouth. It is not his talking. He can sometimes cut a nice underdog babyface promo, but it's usually very lackluster, and it's usually very dry, and it's not really much to write home about.
Yeah.
He's the underdog because of his stature, size, and the fact that he's a killer in the ring. But, and he's a great wrestler, but I do not think he's a great promo whatsoever.
No. And obviously that's starting to rub off on Dominic, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. Yeah. I would just say, meh. I mean, and again, we all like Rey Mysterio. It seems like a great guy, you know, great father, great husband, all
and
that.
Great guy.
You know, all that stuff.
Nice guy. I met him. We talked about the Chavo match on Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
Good guy.
So, but just as a promo, he could not talk you into the building.
It's your sister's favorite, right?
Yeah, but she's at a redneck wedding right now, so she's not. So she's not listening to this.
So we'll put him in meh?
Yeah.
Redneck wedding. All right. Eric, actually, no.
Yes, sir.
Doug, I'm going to start with you. Who do you got in that big cranium of yours? What's a name that you got? And then Eric can give another name.
Okay. I'm going to say this because, like, I do like the guy, and he has cut some promos that I like, but he's also fucked up a lot of stuff. Sid.
All I can think when you talk about is in promos is, and I'm half the man that you are. That was it. Or no, I have half the brain that you do.
Yeah.
have you ever heard that one, Eric?
No.
It was Nash and Hall. And apparently Nash and Hall got with Sid beforehand and told him to cut this promo. And while they were in the ring, he said, "You are half the man that I am, and I have half the brain that you do." So he basically called himself a fucking idiot on national TV.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious.
That's funny.
But I don't know. There's something. It's Sid's promos are one of those instances where it's so bad it's good to me. Because he's rambling and he's talking about nothing, but kind of like Warrior, like you are getting invested and it does bring you in the ruler of the world. Like, it's so fucking crazy that it's actually kind of good.
Well, and here's another thing, too. You know, we just did SummerSlam 91 a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And the promo he cut at SummerSlam 91 is actually, like, one of my favorite promos, where he's like, If I've been asked that question once, I've been asked it 100 times, and that is, Sid Justice, where do you stand? He goes, but I think I've answered that question at least 1,000 times. And to me, like, that kind of, like, drew me into, like, the character.
Yeah.
Now, early Sid Justice WWF, his promos were actually really good.
Yeah.
Okay. When he cut the promo on Hogan before the match at WrestleMania 8, the match sucked. But he basically, he had you believing that, oh my God, this guy is going to try to end Hulk Hogan's career.
Yeah.
So his early stuff was good. However, unfortunately, you know, as time got on, as time went on, he just, his promos just got worse. And not only that promo, but the promo at the First In Your House where he messed up the line and he said, okay, you know, let's do this again. And JR's like, Sid, we're live.
Yeah.
So I would actually just say, I would say meh.
I would say trash.
I can't go trash because to me it's so bad it's good. I won't go higher than meh out of respect to the great talkers, but I got to go at least meh. I can't put them in trash because I can get enjoyment out of watching it, and that's the point. So
yeah.
It might suck, but it's something.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I'll tell you, his level of enthusiasm obviously is genetic.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he passed it down to, you know, one of the great Big Brother players.
Yes, Frank Udi, one of my favorites. He was a good talker, too.
He was a good talker. Yes. And when he got fired up,
yeah, coming
just
after,
like his father, I was afraid. I remember watching a couple of, like when Frank got fired up when they voted out that the one blonde.
Yes.
I was thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, please hide the scissors.
That was a good promo, too. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that girl, she's a sweet girl.
Yeah.
And just like, so Frank's got a brother that actually, you know, wrestled independently. I don't know if he still does or not, but his brother Gunner.
Okay.
Frank would have been a hell of a hand in the wrestling business. He would have been a hell of a promo.
I think so.
If he decided, I mean, and I don't know how old the guy is. But, like, if he would have decided to, you know, make a venture into the family business, he would at least make it as a manager.
He would.
Because he could cut a good promo himself.
That's true.
Just throw in a little bit of Big Brother there for anybody that was expecting to listen to Unlimited tonight.
I wanted to put Chael Sonnen on this list, too, but I think we could do a UFC talker list at some point.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Oh, definitely.
next up. John Cena.
Ah, okay.
I'm I'm sorry, Eric. We'll go right to you after. I apologize. We will go to you. You can do two.
Okay.
But, make him good.
No, you can do as many as you want. I'm sorry. I just we can go to you first.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, after.
No. Oh, okay. I was gonna say Vince McMahon.
Vinnie Mac. Oz. As a commentator, I thought he sucked as an announcer. But as the evil Mr. McMahon.
Elite.
Come on. Exactly.
You
elite,
can't not.
Definitely elite.
Like, he made an era. Yes, Steve did a tremendous bit of the heavy lifting, but he made an era. He was the heel to Steve Austin's babyface, and his promos brought people in the building, and you wanted to see this rich asshole get the shit beat out of him. And he was the owner of the company.
Exactly.
9 times out of 10, it did happen. And he got a lot of mileage out of that character. You know, he was a good dick till about 2008, 2009. And then he was starting to get a little too old. But he was good, even like 2006 against Michaels and stuff. He was pretty good talking about that, but some of the fucked up shit about how Vince is bigger than God. The stuff that people probably aren't into, but it's crazy shit.
Yeah, and
even that my stuff.
Like, he was also willing, like, you know, when he would cut the promos, he would cut, and then like get his ass beat after. You know, he was obviously willing to take a tail kicking.
Something
he was a good sport. Yeah.
Something I wish, you know, his daughter would have picked up, but she just likes castrating sheep.
Shane picked it up.
Shane has no problem getting his ass beat.
Shane will throw himself into whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Shane will throw himself in front of a fucking bus and try to make it work. But Vince is just, again, not a great announcer.
Yeah.
Not a great, play-by-play guy.
And I agree, and I do want to put all facets of a guy's career in play, but I think what he did in the Attitude Era was just too much to not put him in the lead. It surpasses everything.
No, I agree with you.
Like, yeah. Now, let's touch on Cena.
He's definitely.
You think of another one, Eric, because we'll go to you right after again. But let's touch on John Cena, because I think he's an interesting pick. Because I think sometimes he's very good. I think he is very underrated on the microphone. When he get, like, the stuff against The Miz in 2016, and, like, when he gets really pissed off, and he was...
It's passion.
Yeah, it's when he gets passion and he gets mad... He's really good, and he's a really good talker. He can talk people in the building. The stuff against The Rock was tremendous. The only issue is sometimes he can, because he was the PG champion, he's the PG guy, he can come across as a bit corny sometimes. I think that would be the only fault, is sometimes it's a bit cheesy, the stuff he says.
Okay, so I'm actually going to make a comparison, and I don't think you actually know these movies, because the guy had actually passed away, I think, just when you were a baby.
Okay.
And I'm only saying this because Cena actually kind of looks like him now. Like, you put a tan baseball cap and a blue vest and a gray shirt on him, he looks like Ernest P. Worrell.
Okay.
Who is playing
by
him. And it was actually, I actually got that comparison because Boxman actually did a side-by-side in the Wrestling Umbrella Group. And Boxman was actually the first person to point out, and he's like, doesn't John Cena look like Ernest? And Ernest P. Worrell played by Jim Varney. Ernest basically, it's kind of like the same thing, because Ernest, you know, really good guy, does get passionate, good heart on his, wears his heart on his sleeve, got a great heart, but some of the shit that comes out of his mouth is really, really corny. And that's the same way John Cena is.
Yes.
All right. Great heart. Does sometimes wear his heart on his sleeve. He's got a lot of passion and all that. He can be funny.
He can be really funny. But sometimes the jokes get a little too juvenile.
It's the same thing with Ernest P. Worrell.
Yeah.
And John Cena, now luckily, and Ernest P. Worrell, basically, he's just a movie character. Now, John Cena, when he's in the movies, he's actually, like, very good in his movie roles.
Yeah.
I just kind of look at the two, like, and again, because they kind of look a lot alike, and it's, obviously, it comes with age with Cena.
Yeah.
And if they ever actually want to reboot the Ernest movies and make, like, an Ernest Jr. or something like that, John would actually fit the role. And I would actually pay to see that, because those were actually some of my favorite movies when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The hip-hop stuff, when he was a rapper heel, aging-wise, like, if you look back, that stuff all comes across corny. But at the time, it was very good. And the rap battle
it
stuff.
It was a way – first of all, it saved his job.
It did.
But also – and then, like, the 2005, champ Cena, when he started kind of getting away from that. But it's still like, he had no problem. He could cut deep.
Yeah. He could go one-on-one with Edge on the mic. And
yeah.
Edge is a pretty good talker. So he could go one-on-one with Punk on the mic. And Punk's a better talker, but John Cena, there is something to him. I do think he's not elite, but I would say very good.
I would say very good too.
Yeah, I'd say very good.
All right, Eric, who do you got?
I got Chris Jericho.
Oh, if there's a level above elite, put him there. I mean, he's the greatest of all time.
Exactly. And I think that would be the level of elite would be, the GOAT.
Yeah, I think he's probably the best. I mean, there are, like, spots for a couple people, and one guy that we haven't mentioned that's of Samoan descent, but not Roman Reigns. but Chris Jericho.
Yokozuna?
No, not Yoko. But Chris Jericho, he's just... any it's like what we said about Paul and how you had the Pauly Dangerously, but you had the ECW, you had a lot of different Pauls.
Yeah.
You have so many different Chris Jerichos that are all great talkers.
The only Jericho that could not talk.
White Meat Babyface WCW.
Correct.
But that was early, and they didn't really give him a microphone.
And even, like, the Smoky Mountain stuff when him and Lance were the thrill seekers.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have to talk. They, you know, they weren't really given a microphone and all that.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, their one appearance where they were, you know, their, like, big major appearance, Jericho. Well, yeah, Jericho broke his arm, and it turned into a flop, but still.
But heel WCW Jericho was phenomenal. Y2J Jericho was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Suit and Tie Jericho was phenomenal.
Right.
List Jericho was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was the thing, is that, like, all the other incarnations passed White Meat Babyface.
Which was his first, so we could give him a bit of a pass.
Yeah. And even now, like, because here's the thing, when he came back in, what was it, 20, when he had the run 2014, was it 2014? Or 2014, he came back for a couple of months. He did the feud with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Then he left again or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then came back at the beginning of 2016.
Did that iconic stuff with Kevin Owens in the List.
Yeah. So, like...
Oh, the List was awesome.
Yeah. Just, like, the look on it, the facial expression with the pen, you know... You know, clicking the thing to where the tip would show out.
You just made the list.
Yeah. Just like the bug eyes, you know. And like it, you know, yeah, the bug eyes that, you know, most teenagers get when they accidentally walk in on their grandparents in the shower. But
and even now, I mean, how long were we talking about a little bit of the bubbly?
Yeah.
Like, he still fucking has shit that gets incredibly over. The demo god. Like, all his stuff is over. Everything he says. He's
exactly. And just, like, and this is why, like, I'm glad he's still technically wrestling.
Yeah.
But I want to see him on commentary more.
Yeah, because he's awesome on commentary.
Yeah. Him and they don't need anybody else. They don't need these four-man teams.
Yeah.
You need him and you need Tony Schiavone, and that's it. And maybe, like, because I actually think this would kind of be a dream team, because I also think that this guy, even though I don't like him in the ring, I think Eddie Kingston is a hell of a color guy.
Yeah.
So, like, if you put Schiavone in the middle, Lord help him, and you have Eddie Kingston on one side and Jericho on the other, that would be magic.
Yes. I completely agree.
Yeah.
And even, like, he doesn't even have to say too much. You remember when they did the PWI 500, I think, was it a year ago or two?
The 2020 PWI 500.
Yeah, and Moxley made number one, and they just announced it on AEW, and he's like, what?
Yeah.
It was like they only had to do it. It was funny as shit.
Yeah. We talked about that for months.
Yeah. And that's his one word. He's like, what?
Yeah,
it was so
fun. And I remember, like, when we tried to review the PWI 500, but unfortunately we had legends with us that, you know, had no idea what the fuck we were talking about.
And we're pissed off that we had an opinion about it.
Yeah. But, like, no, Jericho doing that. And then what about the thing with Orange Cassidy? When he started getting fired off, he's like, I'm calm.
Yeah, I'm calm.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
The whole exchange with Cassidy, with Bischoff, with it, what was it called? The debate? Was
yeah, the great debate or something?
That was fucking hilarious. And Orange actually talked pretty good during that, too, and he proved that he was a bit of a promo. But Jericho carried that. It was hilarious. And him and Bischoff yelling at each other.
Yeah. Well, he talked about the climate change, and then he wouldn't say anything else. And then, like, finally he got the promo. He's like, Chris, you're trying to embarrass me. He's like, yeah, and it's working. He goes, Chris, I don't care. You booked a debate against a guy that doesn't talk. But, and Orange Cassidy would not, like, if we, you know, tiered him on this list, obviously he would go. I mean, the stuff he does cut
is funny, but he's just, he doesn't talk.
Yeah.
So it's not really fair to even listen.
Yeah, but, like, in Orange Cassidy, he's another one of those guys, like, he showed more emotion, or he shows more emotion when he's with Chris Statlander.
Yeah.
Because, like, the other night, and Eric, you remember this, because this match was awesome between Baker and Statlander, right?
Yeah.
And Statlander's outside the ring. They don't know if she's going to make it back in the ring or not. Orange Cassidy takes the sunglasses off and says, get in there, get up and get in the ring. Yeah, he and he's screaming at her. And Shivani goes, where in the hell did that come from? And that was just hilarious.
I agree.
But yeah, no, Jericho, I already wrote him in Elite.
Yeah. And, well, how about the stuff with
and
his stuff
with MJF is great.
When he's like, I haven't liked you when I first met you 15 years ago or something. Bischoff was like, it was 17. Or something like that.
Hell, it was longer than that.
Yeah.
It was almost.
It was in the 20s, I think, but you remember the line.
Yeah.
Now, with that, let's transition into another booker besides Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff. Because I think he's underrated.
He's underrated when he became an on-air character. He's another one of those guys who's like Vince McMahon that not really a great, like, commentator.
Yeah.
Those early episodes of Nitro, which we obviously will be watching at some point when we do our research for the upcoming retrospective.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether or not you knew we were going to watch them, I'm just kind of throwing it on you. The commentary team of Heenan, Mongo, and Bischoff, it's funny to listen to because you get to hear Heenan and Mongo bicker back and forth.
Yeah.
Because Mongo could actually talk. But Bischoff could not hold it together because Bischoff was just awful.
Yeah.
As an announcer, as a commentator.
But the heel character, the heel boss, he did it first before Vince. He always has that. He did it first.
And again, he got the heat.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying earlier. If you can get enough heat to where people buy a ticket to see you get punched in the yapper.
Yeah, then you're doing your job.
Yes, and that's what he did. And he did it from late 1996 to, you know, when to up until like his most recent run in TNA.
Yeah.
In 20 he was released from TNA, or he quit being an on-air character in TNA in like 2012.
Yeah.
So for 15-16 years.
My favorite Bischoff is Raw GM Bischoff, though.
Yeah.
Because he was a ruthless bad
guy.
Yeah. And he would take his lickings, too.
Stone like Cold.
He would take the sardines in the thong from Mae Young.
Yeah, but also, too, like, he would threaten to, you know, fire you. Like, if you hit me, you're fired.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but it was funny, like, you know, Bischoff I can understand, but, like, when he had that moron, you know, Val Venus, you know, Chief Morley there.
Yeah.
And Morley would be a little bitch. And then guys would go to hit him, punch me in your fight. It's like, no, asshole, you're just chief of staff. You don't have the authority to fire anybody. I mean, they could fucking cut your balls off and cut your dick off and shove it up your own ass, and they would still have a job. But no, with Bischoff, I would actually say, I wouldn't say elite, but I would say very good.
I'd say very good, too.
I'd say very good. His stuff was so cold on with the Raw GM, as you said, was pretty. Awesome.
All right. Besides the stable tier list, let's do this guy because this might be the only other list besides the stable tier list that he would do well in. Michael P.S. Hayes.
I think he was in world class because that's what I remember most of because that's like the earliest stuff of his that's on Peacock.
Yeah.
Because his Mid-South stuff, like, Mid-South wasn't even really, or Mid-South became Mid-South in 1979, but for some reason, like, WWE does not have their hands on that footage.
Yeah.
He was an excellent talker, and he was a great, like, he would have been, like, a great manager.
Yeah.
So, I would say very good. I would not say elite, but I would say very good.
I agree with that. I'd say very good.
He made up for what he lacked in wrestling skills. He made up for in promo.
And Terry Gordy did the opposite.
Oh, yes. Terry Gordy couldn't talk at all.
Yeah, I'd put him in very good. Almost elite, but I'd put him in very good.
Yeah.
Bubba Ray Dudley.
Uh, I think as
he was
bully Ray,
better as a bully Ray.
Yeah, as bully, I think he was very good. I mean, even like the early stuff when he'd be like, "My name is Bubba Ray Dudley." Yeah, and that goofy like character, you know, that stuttered all the time.
Till Rock made fun of him, so he stopped.
Yeah. So, like, but once he became bully, I think it went from very good. So started out in like mediocre, ended in very good, because
yeah.
he was another one that like you wanted to see him, but he could like back up what he was saying.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, he had to use either a hammer or a chain to do it.
I put him in, does he go elite, or is he not quite good enough?
I mean,
I think he's one of the better TNA talkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably
I would,
one
say, I would definitely say that. You want to put him in elite?
I don't know. That's hard.
I say elite.
Yeah, let's put Bubba in elite, damn it.
I'm putting him in as bully, though.
Yeah, he's better as bully. All right. Let's go back on the female side. Let's talk about Nia Jax.
Oi.
Oh,
you
boy.
Talk about people that need to have their tongue removed.
Garbage.
I think she's trash, and she's trash for one reason for me. I don't mind the heel promos. I think she's okay. What did the babyface run with Alexa? They put a fire under her ass, and she actually got over. The WrestleMania match got over. People wanted to see her as this underdog, you know, plus-size queen. But then she got on the mic, and she still talked like she was better than everybody in a cocky heel. And she was acting like an asshole. She wasn't playing the character right.
Right.
So I think for that reason, and maybe that reason alone, put her in trash. Mickie James. Everything she's done, and I like Mickie, but no offense, Mickie. Everything you've done has been on the mic, not in the ring. You're great in the ring. On the mic, everything you've done has been pretty mediocre, except for the Trish Stratus stuff.
Stuff was good.
Yep.
Yes.
The
crazy character that she was playing at the time, it might not age well today, but it was a very good character and it was very entertaining.
I mean, even like, you know, trying to defend herself when they were doing the Piggy James stuff, that was just kind of cringeworthy.
Yeah.
So I would say mediocre. And I really don't want to get into
yeah,
like,
you know,
like,
you know,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
certain things about that.
Yeah, let's put her at mediocre. All right, we got to do it. I mean, obviously, we'll probably do numerous parts of this. This might be a series that we keep coming back to.
Yeah.
Because we're never going to run out of guys. But let's talk about The Rock.
Elite.
Up there and the reason why is because great heel promo, but awesome babyface promo.
Yeah.
And even like as a babyface, you know, when he would make Kevin Kelly pick his nose or he would put a shirt over Michael Cole and then throw him like 10 feet or what.
He could be a bully and still come across as a nice guy and funny and cool. There was just an era, no matter what he said, even when he was a heel, you're like, damn, this guy is cool. There's something about The Rock. But as a heel, you wanted to hate him because he was so good, you wanted to hate him. And as a babyface, you wanted to love him. What more can you ask for? He was the perfect foil to Stone Cold, but also the perfect babyface against Triple H because of his tongue.
Right.
So.
And best friends with Mick Foley.
Best friends with Mick Foley. I mean, the stuff against Foley. He, like, and Foley was a great underdog in that feud, and he would just dig into him about his weight and being sloppy and ugly and stuff. And he was just a great promo. And no matter when he came back, the stuff with Cena was great. Rock's just a good talker.
Yeah. And again, and that really has transformed and transcended into his acting, too.
Yeah, because he's probably one of the greatest actors of all time, too.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the highest paid, at least. So he oozes charisma, but he's also very witty, too. It's not just charisma, like maybe some other guys on this list. He's very witty with the stuff he says, and it's very entertaining. And it usually doesn't recycle it, except for the catchphrases.
Yeah.
But, like, when he's making fun of, like, Big Show and Kane and Rikishi, no matter who, I did it for The Rock, because for the Rikishi. He's just funny. So he's got to go to the lead.
Yeah, he's up there with Jericho and Paul Heyman's the best.
And another guy that might be up there with both of them, and we got to talk about this man, Scott Hall, the bad guy.
KO.
Yeah.
You know, even as Razor Ramon,
KO.
His promos would be great. But, like, you know, he would always do this thing with the survey. Even if you could tell that, like, you know, 98, 99 when he was tanked.
Yeah.
Like, he still could talk you into a building. And that was the thing. That was, like, something that we have to, you know, have to keep in mind is if they could talk you into a building,
yeah,
they're doing their job. And that's what Scott Hall could do. And not only could he talk you in there, but he kept you interested because he could work.
And he was the one NWO guy that never won a world title, and I always found that interesting. And
I don't think he ever wanted one.
No, because he was such a good – but he could sell you. He was obviously better as a heel, but he was that cool heel too, so he was also basically a babyface.
Yeah.
And it's just everything he did was phenomenal. I'd almost say elite the way he delivered the character.
I would too. And, like, you know, you talk about him never being a world champion. He's only had two world title shots ever, two one-on-one world title shots. Bret Hart in 1993 Royal Rumble, which Bret actually liked
wow.
the character. So that's why, you know, Bret gave him the shot, or, you know, Bret agreed to work with him or whatever. And Sting at that uncensored 98. And the only reason why he worked with Sting is because Sting, you know, him and Sting were buddies.
Yeah. Him and Sting in 98, you said?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sting,
I didn't know that.
You know, Sting wanted to work with him because Sting happened to really like him. So, I mean, yeah, I would probably say elite then, too.
Yeah, definitely elite. Especially as
Disco
NWO
Inferno.
Stuff.
Disco Inferno?
Disco Inferno.
I would say middle of the road. I mean,
I think very good because he was annoying.
He was annoying, but he was too annoying. To me, there's a difference between heat and wanting to turn your TV off.
Yeah.
When he turns out, I want to turn my TV off. I don't want to keep watching them, so I'm putting them in that.
Okay.
All right, Eric, where did you put him?
I think very good.
All right, we're going to middle of the road his ass because I said middle of the road.
Okay. I fucking hate Disco. That's just because he was mean to you. I just think he's a prick. And I never thought he was good. But, I mean, there are people that stick up for him, so Jericho would probably call me a dipshit. We got so much. I mean, there's so – we've done a pretty good list so far, too.
Yeah.
We've gotten into a variety of names. Let's keep it going. Molly Holly.
The pure and innocent Molly Holly. When she did that, that was actually some very good stuff. But I would just say middle of the road.
She was a very good sport about going bald, though.
Yeah.
You got to give her that.
I will – because to be honest with you, and again, this is a match we talked about on this show because when we did WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
The match kind of lacked because of the lack of crowd participation, but I actually thought that was a really good match.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was a really good sport about going ball. But yeah, her promos. I would say middle of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think middle of the road.
Beth Phoenix.
I never really found her to be that great of a talker, so I'm just going to say meh.
I would too, but I like the whole...
Yeah, I think meh.
I like the Divas of Doom thing, but I'd say meh too. But I liked her promo.
Yeah, I don't think she was great.
Because she kind of started that, you know... Women's Revolution. I mean, I guess you could say a lot of people started it, but she was kind of that one that was like, I'm going to change it.
And she did.
No more shaking ass. Which I have experience about. But Ric Flair.
I don't like the guy personally. However, I will admit that he is probably one of the greatest talkers of all time.
He's elite. There's just something about him. Even his shit about the shit we reviewed yesterday. When you're gonna let me talk,
yeah.
He starts going ham. He is phenomenal. And I always think back to that. Oh my god, that lovely promo with the horseman with Arn.
Yep.
And he's like, I almost forgot the fourth horseman. And then Ric Flair comes out, and it's a huge pop, and he had that real-life beef with Eric Bischoff. And then Bischoff, you know, shows up. You're never going to be out of here again. He's like, fire me! I'm already fired! Fire me! I'm already fired! And he's screaming and shit.
I get chills just listening, just watching that.
Yeah,
just
that is
having
one of my
you
favorite...
talk about it, I get chills.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite pieces of wrestling content to watch.
Yeah,
I can
well,
watch
we'll,
that over and over
we'll
again.
Yeah, mine too.
Great promo. So he's elite.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right,
guys.
Arn Anderson. Oh.
You were getting ready.
I was saying elite.
No, weren't you?
Yeah. I go elite for Arn Anderson.
I would too.
Because even like yesterday with the whole, the one constant is Singh. He was just such a different promo from Rick, and they contrasted each other so well. And there was just something about Arn and Rick together, and then Arn's a little more soft-spoken, but also intense in a different way, but in a gruff, you know, less classy way. And he was badass, so I'd go elite. All right, we're going to do a speed round now. Don't say any more people, Eric.
Sorry.
It's okay. We're going to do a speed round. We will get back to this topic. We've gotten a lot of names. This has been one of my favorite episodes so far.
Yeah, to think. We just came out.
Definitely.
You came up with it, you know, just 4 hours ago, pre-nap.
Pre-nap. And I'm glad we did it. I'm having fun.
I'm glad we did it, too. I mean, this is actually, your pre-nap ideas are actually better than your pre-poop ideas.
You're a pre-poop idea. All right. The first thing of the speed round. You can maybe give a sentence about why they deserve to be there, where they're at. But besides that, just give me a name and a quick sentence. Stephanie McMahon.
Perfect bitch, I would say elite, even though her voice just makes my penis shrink.
Eric.
Elite.
All right, elite. Test.
Middle of the road.
Trash.
I hate the guy, and I just gave him a higher rating.
put him in meh. Chris Benoit.
As a promo, I don't
middle of the road.
As a promo, I don't think he was that good. So I would actually say, as a promo, I'd say garbage.
I go trash too.
Okay.
Marty Jannetty.
Trash. I just don't think he's a promo.
Okay. Trash. Harley Race.
Elite. He was another one of those guys, soft-spoken, very tough.
Yes.
But could talk you into the building.
Ron Simmons, Farouk.
Damn! The catchphrase got over, but I would just say meh.
Oh.
What'd you say?
Okay. I said elite.
Damn's enough for Eric.
I'll say very good. I'll say very good.
We're in the middle of the road, then. Shane McMahon.
Eric's such a bird. Shane McMahon.
Very good.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah, I like him. He's a good douchebag. But he's also a good underdog babyface, even as a McMahon for some reason.
Yeah, when he came back, what was it, 2015?
Yeah.
Yes.
Seth Rollins.
Annoying voice.
Very good.
But, yeah, very good.
I'd put him at middle of the road, but all right, very good. I think he sucks. Taka Michinoku. I'm just kidding. Dean Malenko.
When he could get fired up.
Middle of the road.
Yeah.
Middle of the road. The Godfather.
I mean, he had, like, that good line, like, before every match, but other than that, he was just middle of the road.
But you got to roll a fatty for that Ted Daddy.
That's not my thing.
Okay, man.
Middle of the road. Christian Cage.
That seems very good.
I don't know. I'm going to agree with Eric and say very good. Because the one more match shit, he was a great annoying heel.
Yeah.
I don't think he was
better teenage stuff. No.
I think he was very good. Shelton Benjamin.
Meh.
Man.
And, you know, just
I don't want to play him back because he's
great athlete, but not great talker, for sure. Sorry, Shelton. Devon Dudley.
Oh, my brother, testify. Your ass is going in middle of the road.
Yeah. He's not like his half-brother. Like his brother.
Brother, testify. I'm scared, Batista.
I say very good. I like him.
Pretty good
so
stuff,
much.
So I would say very good.
What would you say, Eric?
I say very good. I like his promos.
Yeah.
Especially the ones when he came back in 2014.
I always thought he came across as cool, so put him there. Charlotte.
I'm not going to put her in the same category as her father, but I'll say very good.
As much as I want to put her in the middle of the road, I'll put her in very good because she is a good promo.
Okay.
She does grab you the ring. I mean, grab the room. So, yeah.
Tessa Blanchard.
I'd actually just think middle of the road.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen her promos much, so I'll think middle of the road.
All right.
I got
two more. First, Becky Lynch.
I would probably say very good.
She's gotten better. Especially her man-on-the-man stuff. So I'll say very good. She started out at middle of the road. She's gotten better. I think she's better than Seth Rollins.
All right. I left out a lot of names on purpose because we will get back to this particular subject. We might do it on a Saturday again out of nowhere because this was a lot of fun. And a lot of the guys that I left off, I want to do more than just a few seconds on. But we do have to end on a legend. How about Rowdy Roddy Piper?
Elite.
The Why, Doug?
Because he is, again, he could cut a good promo as a babyface. He could cut a good promo as a heel. He's another one that, like, he may not have been a great wrestler, but he could talk you into the building. Mainly as a heel, because then, like, you know, you wanted to see him get killed.
Yeah. He's also a great babyface, too, though.
Yeah. The 1992 Royal Rumble promo.
Do the thing with the Quebecer.
Oh, with the Mountie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, what we're dealing with is one of the original Village People here. With his mate Jimmy Hart, who keeps kissing the belt, leaving all that lipstick on it. I heard the Mountie out here saying, first thing I'm going to do, pounds his chest, I don't know, hand me something. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take Piper's integrity. That's like Jack Cousteau trying to find a dry spot in the ocean. I ain't got no damn integrity. What do you think I got so far? Yeah. Second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take Roddy Piper's manhood. Huh? I come here to fight. I don't know what you come here to do.
Yeah.
I come here to win two titles. I can't do that till I win the first one. Yeah. I think you've been dreaming. I think it's been all wet, too.
Yeah, phenomenal. I think we'll end on that.
Yeah. So make
that
sure
was very good, Doug.
That was very good. Great character work, Doug. Scary Cats tomorrow, 13 Ghosts, 3 p.m. Check it out. Bye week next week. We might do it unlimited. We'll see. Scary Cats will still be around. And then of course, the Friday after our big WCW retrospective. With all that being said, everybody have a great night. Eric, this was a blast.
See you guys tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Guys, you're coming over.
yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Hey.
Later.
Yep. Man.